Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
My take at thetakeaway.org.
We began the hour talking about the situation in Gaza, and as Femi Oke has pointed out, it's the seventh day of fighting there, and it's been described on our program that the confrontation between Israel and Hamas is something like a battle between two power vacuums, in that Hamas does not represent all Palestinians, and the Israeli government is awaiting elections. But you could add to that the U.S. government power vacuum in the pre-inauguration days of Barack Obama, and then you could add a fourth political vacuum to that, and it's the situation in Iran as President Ahmadinejad faces his own election, and the relationship between Iran and Hamas is also a factor in this conflict. Joining us to talk about the Iran-Hamas relationship and the profile of Iran in this conflict, among other players in the region, is Noah Feldman, a professor of law at Harvard University and a contributor to the New York Times Magazine, and he's the author of The Rise and Fall of the Islamic State. Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How does the election in Iran bear on the rhetoric and style of reaction in the Iranian government's response to what's been going on in Gaza?
It's crucial to President Ahmadinejad, who wants to be reelected, that he capitalize on what's been happening in Gaza. And the way for him to capitalize is to do something he's gotten very good at, which is to criticize the Arab states generally for talking a good game on behalf of the Palestinians and doing very little for the Palestinians. That's the line that he presses. By doing that, he's able to try to convince ordinary people in the Arab world, not Iranians, but ordinary people in the Arab world, that he is one of the few leaders in the region who will fully endorse and support Hamas. And in so doing, he's trying to create a wedge between ordinary Arabs and their own governments and assume leadership for Iran in the Muslim world. He's hoping that that will help him in his own domestic constituency.
Is it likely to help him? And how much of this is symbolic, and how much of actual material support is accelerating between Iran and Hamas right now?
Well, I do think those are two questions. I think, first of all, that it helps him only somewhat, but it does help him. To the extent that Ahmadinejad has had any policy in foreign policy, his goal has been to convince ordinary Iranians that they are helped by enhancing tensions between Iran and Israel, that makes Iran look stronger, that makes Iran look like a regional player, that it helps Iran to greater regional leadership. And he's hoping this will cover over the very great difficulties he's had in leadership, both in foreign policy and also in economic policy. So it does help him to some extent that the Palestine-Israel issue is on the front burner and is on everybody's minds. That, for him, has on the whole been an issue he's been able to exploit. In terms of direct aid, this has been a long-term contentious question. For some time, the Israelis maintained that the Shia government in Iran had been supporting Hamas and had tried to support Hamas, and they had some evidence of it at various junctures. More recently, that has not been what they've been saying about where the main source of support for Hamas has been coming. They've been describing primarily aid coming across the tunnels from the border with Egypt. Israel says that it's sealed off the other access points for Iran. So we're talking primarily about symbolic support here. By contrast, Iran does support Hezbollah in Lebanon very closely indeed.
Well, let's talk then about how that could possibly be an opening. As we all know, the historical context speaks of a long-term relationship between Iran and Israel and Iran and the United States going back to before Ayatollah Khomeini took power in the pre-Islamic revolutionary times of Iran. If Barack Obama were to restart some sort of dialogue with Iran, is that possibly a player that could, first of all, help to mediate this conflict, and second of all, do the even more unthinkable, and that is create a unified Palestinian front with Hamas and Fatah actually together to negotiate some broader peace with Israel? Is that even in the cards?
Well, you know, something could be in the cards in the sense that it's incredibly improbable and would be really remarkable and is unlikely to happen, but could in theory happen. And I think that's my reaction to the scenario that you depict. Essentially, you're right that in a big strategic way, Iran historically was allied with the United States as an important regional power and indeed aligned with Israel. And part of the reason for that is that Iran is not an Arab country and Israel is not an Arab country, and so they had some common interests. In theory, if the regime in Tehran became more accepting of Israel's existence or accepting at all of Israel's existence, if it were able to reach a broad, negotiated, what's sometimes called a grand bargain or a grand solution with the United States in the region, then Iran would certainly have the credibility to help to some extent in improving the situation between Israel and Palestine, which includes solving the internal problems that the Palestinians now have. They're being split down the middle in terms of allegiance to different governing factions.
As
but
implausible
we are
as that,
a long way from that. I think it's important.
Well,
it's
but let me just back you up. Let me just back you up though for a second. As far as we are away from that, though, doesn't Iran's profile rise as a result of the botched U.S. invasion of Iraq help them to make this argument that a grand bargain is at least within reach if they had the political will to make it happen?
Depends if you think that what Iran wants most in the world is to be treated as, by the United States and by others, as a regular country, a regular regional leader, which is what we can hold out to them as a promise, or whether you think what they want to do is simply to gain advantage, which they've gained enormously just by sitting on their hands and letting us invade Iraq. And so that's really where the views of Iran experts are split down the middle.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. Noah Feldman, as always, thanks for joining us.
Sure, pleasure.
Noah Feldman is professor of law at Harvard University, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, and the author of The Fall and Rise of the Islamic State. And now headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thank you, John. The time is 27 minutes past the hour.